The thought the Lord laid on my heart is, what does the Lord want? You know, sometimes, when we come here, we're really coming here to see what the Lord wants out of our lives. What does the Lord want of us as people of God? You know, I was thinking how that sometimes a person may feel like that the Lord is sitting like a judge ready to punish, you know, a stern judge, right? But you know, that is really not what he wants. He doesn't want to punish us. He has a desire toward us. He wants to envelop us into his care. He wants to, you know how a dear father takes the child into his arms, and sometimes he'll let the child sit on his lap, and the child feels so warm and loved and cared for. Do you know that's the way the Lord is about us? He's not that stern judge. One day he will be, but now he, not that. He's looking for every little mistake you make and trying to beat you down. I'm thankful that he's not like that. I'm thankful that we can have a God that cares about us. So what does he want? He wants to be able to rejoice over us. He wants a relationship with us. He wants to show his love and care. And he wants us to reciprocate that. You know, it's just like a mother or a father, when you love the child, you want to feel that the child loves you back, don't you? And the same thing with the Lord. Let's go to Zephaniah 3:17. When I read this scripture, it was such a blessing to me. And the Lord gave me this message from this scripture right here.
The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save, he will rejoice ever over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing.
Isn't that a beautiful scripture? It shows you how much he cares. It shows you his attitude toward us. He wants to rejoice over us. We can be so close to him that it says he rejoiced over us with singing. I wonder what that would be like to hear the Lord God Almighty singing over us. It shows the great care and the love that he has. But how do we get there? How do we get to the place where God can rejoice over us? You know, he doesn't rejoice over everybody. It's got to be those that walk with him and live for him and talk with him. I know one of the young people, Ellie's fiance, when he finished praying, he prays during our young people's meeting. He opens with prayer and closes with prayer. But I notice he'll say, "And I love you," when he's talking to the Lord, or something like that. The end of it is, you know, we say amen, and but he lets God know he loves him. That is the kind of relationship that God wants with us, where he can rejoice over us, where he can rejoice with singing over us, and then where we reciprocate that love. Do you know, if we do, we're going to receive the blessings of the Lord. Let's go now. John 15:8-9. What kind of relationship does the Lord want to have with us? He wants to have a relationship, but he wants to have a loving relationship. You know, sometimes you can have relationship with people that is far from being loving. It's just, I'm putting up with it. Sometimes people get saved and they kind of have that kind of attitude, you know. I can't do this and I can't do that. And, you know, that kind of putting up with the Lord kind of relationship, he doesn't want that. He wants it where we willingly do things for him. We want to please him, right? He wants us to please him, but he wants us to want to please him. Do you know, sometimes you have some dear children that look like they can't hardly do enough for you. They hug on you. I think of my daughter that passed was kind of like that. And I guess that makes it even harder to get over her. Because she was always wanting to do something. She would, I looked up and she had given me these little bear, my favorite color, made out of little tiny roses. I don't know where she got it from, but it was so cute. And then Mother's Day, she took me to this very kind of expensive restaurant in Dallas, you know, Papa Do's. And she gave me lobster. I like lobster. So she gave me, I think it was like a 2-pound lobster or something. Very expensive. She did this. It was done out of love, though. It's not, you know, well, it's Mother's Day and I have to think of something to do for Mother. It's just like that's the kind of child she was. Well, the Lord wants us to be like that. He's like that to us. And he wants us to be like that. He pours out himself to us. He does all kinds of things for us. Every single day, he is pouring out his love to us. If we can open our eyes and see in front of us, it is the love of God that does that. Or if we can get up and walk to the bathroom, it's the love of God that allows us to be able to do this. He's constantly doing and thinking about things to make life good for us. And yet, we want to have that kind of love to him. Thinking of, what can I do for the Lord? How can I please the Lord? What, I know the Lord would be happy if I do this. So I do it because I love him. That's the kind of relationship. Not because the saints teach this, or they say don't do this, or the Bible says don't do this. I don't understand why I can't do this. That's no good. We want to have a willingness and a love to, well, if the scripture says don't do it, I don't want to do it because I don't want to displease the Lord. I want what I do to be pleasing to his sight.
John 15:8-9. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love.
See, Jesus had he loved the Father. The Father loved him. And he loved us. That's a threefold knot cannot easily be broken or something like that. So here we want God loves the Father. God the Father loves the Son. The Son loves the Father. and the Son loves us. And we want to be in that circle of love relationship. John 17, read verse 5 to 10.
And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept my word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine. I am glorified in them.
Okay, you see how this relationship, they were yours, you gave them to me, and then all mine are thine. They're yours and they're mine. We're all one. And if you go down to verse 17 to 23, we'll see how this oneness works, this relationship between us and the Son and the Father.
Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also set them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. How far do you want to go?
To 23.
That they all may become as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou hast given me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and has loved them as thou hast loved me.
See how this a perfect oneness with God and with the Son. You see, it's you really can't get a closer relationship than that. It's just like in marriage, the husband and the wife, when they make that vow, they become one. And that's the closest relationship you can have. And we have this with the Father. He loves us, he loves the Son, and we love him, and we love the Son. We're all perfect in one. And so this is what the Lord wants. He doesn't want us to look at him as though he's this judge that wants to destroy us. But he wants to have that perfect relationship with us, a bond that we have, a oneness with him, where when he says, we do. Jesus did that. He was an example of that, and we'll see that later. So, but we need to know how we're going to do this. How are we going to develop this kind of relationship? What is it that we can do? You know, it's not by works that one should boast. But there is a responsibility. It's just like a husband and a wife. The husband should be faithful to the wife. The wife should be faithful to the husband. The wife should love the husband, should submit to the husband. Now, all of this makes for a good relationship with one another, the same way with the Lord. When we read the Word of God, we find out how, what the Lord wants of us and how we can develop this kind of relationship. Let's go to Hebrews 11 and 5. First of all, we want to, well, I can't say maybe first, but we have to have faith. It's through faith that we're able to please Him.
By faith, Eden was translated that he should not see death and was not bound.
Did I say Hebrews 11 and 5?
Yeah, is that what I'm reading?
Yeah. Okay, you can go on. This is just an example of one of the people that had this kind of relationship with Christ, with God.
For before his translation, he had testimony that he pleased God.
So, we can, just like Enoch, walked with God until he was not. He was translated. And by that, he pleased God. We can please God. Sometimes people act like salvation is so hard, you can't do it. I can't please God. That's not so. We can do it. We must please Him. We must endeavor to do the things that please Him. Just like He is pleased with us when we please Him. That's how we can have this kind of relationship with Him. Now let's look at Genesis 5:21-24.
And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him.
All right. So that's just kind of correlating what happened, what was written in the New Testament, the Old Testament. So, like, Enoch could walk with God in such a close relationship that he didn't even have to die. We can walk with him too. We want to have that kind of relationship. We're going now to 2 Timothy 2:15. Says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. What this means that we need to put forth effort, reading the word and understanding what God wants us to do, that we can be approved unto God. When we are approved unto God, we are pleasing Him, and that is what we want to do. We want to make it our effort. Our main goal in life is to please God. Micah 6:8.
He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God.
So when we ask, if we ask the question, how can I please God? What does it take to please God? This scripture says to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. We want to walk humbly with the Lord. When we walk humbly with God, we obey His commandments. We do what He says do. And this is how we can please Him. We can't, if a child wants to please the mom or the dad, they're going to do what he says do. I told this once before. I just was always, I guess, probably saying, I love you, mom, and all that kind of stuff. But when I didn't obey her, she quoted that scripture and said, obedience is greater than sacrifice. We can say, I love the Lord. We can say, I want to please him. But we got to be willing to do what he tells us to do, to please him. 1 Thessalonians 4:1.
We now need to teach you, brother, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus that as you have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so you will abound more and more.
We get it from the Word of God, how we ought to walk and obey and to please God. We walk according to the Scriptures, doing what the Scripture says do, or refraining from doing what the Scriptures tell us not to do. Colossians 1:9-10. It's very important for us to be obedient to his commandments and do what he says do.
Colossians 1:9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of the will of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasure, all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God.
Yes, amen. So that's what it takes. We're going to walk worthy of him. And we walk worthy by being an obedient child. 1 Corinthians 10:31.
1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God.
Whether you eat or drink or whatever you do. We could take that, just do all. If you're talking, if you're going places, and whatever you're doing, do it all to the glory of God. And we know that if we do things to his glory, he will be pleased with us. So the goal is to please God. Yesterday when we had young people meeting, we were talking about being successful. One of the young people said her goal, what she thinks of success, is that she is lined up with what God wants, her life. Couldn't get it any better, right? To line up our lives with what God wants us to do is success. And this is also what pleases him. He's worthy for us to please him. He's done so too much for us that we should be negligent and not try to please him. Let's go now to 1 John 3:22. So if we keep his commandments, we know that we'll please him. That's the way to please him. And then when we please him and he's pleased with us, then we will receive his blessings in return.
And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment.
So simple. We take the word of God, it's plain. It gives us a good understanding of what it takes to please him. We keep his commandments. And then we do those things that's pleasing in his sight. So we want to be encouraged to make that our main goal. If you want to say, what is your goal? What is your New Year's resolution, so to speak? Make it pleasing God. Make that, when you do that, it's going to bring blessings back on you. You can have assurance that the Lord will be there for you. I was thinking of how Jesus was such an example over and over. He let us know that he came here to do his Father's will. In several scriptures, he'll say, I didn't come to do my will, but I came to do the Father's will. As the Father say, or however I do. And that's the example that Jesus set for us. So we can follow that example. As the Lord says do, we do. As the Lord says don't do, we don't do. And we'll please him. And then he will bless us in return. So I want us to think how important it is that if we do his will and we please him, we'll be assured of his love, his care, his protection. All of these blessings will come upon us if we'll do what the Lord wants us to do and if we'll please him. Pray for me.